Hacking, data, and identity theft are causing devastating problems. Globex Data is the solution for privacy and security in the digital world. Switzerland has the world's strictest privacy laws, and Globex Data's Swiss-hosted platform is outside of big tech with no data mining. Globex Data is now launching in the USA, offering email and messaging privacy and security to all Americans. Globex Data Limited, stock trading symbol SWISF. Web address, globexdatagroup.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Professor Brenda Schaefer, Dr. Schaefer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, who is at this moment composing her new book, Iran is More Than Persia. I have had a conversation to learn that the way to imagine Iran, the professor will support me on this, I believe, is to think of a large donut. In the middle is the Tehran regime, which is dominated by the Persian language and Persian traditions. However, all along the borderlands of modern Iran are minorities, most of whom are alienated from the center, from the donut hole. The most significant one to talk about right now are the Ahwazi Arabs, because they occupied critical land in the southwest of Iran along the Iraqi border. Why? Why do they occupy this? They've always lived there. You know, the division of the Ottoman Empire into separate states came along in the 20th century. Also critical is that this is where the oil is. And if you'll recall your history, the reason Great Britain, the British Empire, first pushed into these lands was because they wanted that oil for their fleet. Brenda, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. You report that the Ahwazi Arabs are protesting the center, protesting the regime, and that protest began earlier in July. As I recall, some years past, we've talked about the Ahwazi protesting and being brutally suppressed by the regime. What is the protest this time? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and thank you for covering this, because I think so many events that are connected to Iran that take place outside of Tehran or not in the Persian language aren't really covered. And even though these demonstrations are really significant and have been going on for over 10 days, there's been very little media coverage. So the Ahwazis are about 5 million in Iran. They're not a large group, but they sit in two of the most strategically important areas of Iran, the Khuzestan region, which is the center of Iran's oil and gas production, and also in the Bandar Abbas region, which is a very strategic roads and ports. So the regime in Tehran has no tolerance for any of their demonstrations. And the trigger to these demonstrations was severe water shortages in Khuzestan. The Ahwazis claim that not only do they, in general suffer from water shortages like all of Iran, but their waters, and there are significant rivers in Khuzestan, like the Karun River, are being diverted to Persian-populated areas of Iran. And so here are the people that live in the center of the oil and gas industry in extreme poverty, don't benefit, from the oil and gas revenues, even for jobs. Most of the jobs there go to the Persians, and not to the Arab residents of the region. But they get the shortages, they get the pollution, they get the health implications of living inside the oil and gas industry.
The Ahwazi Arabs are a distinct minority in that they are on the borderland with Iraq. Are these a way to think about this? I'm trying to imagine what the divisions were of the Ottoman Empire by the British war, by the British planners. What is that border region? That's a wetland, right, that divides these two states. But the Ahwazi Arabs live on both sides of the border. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, it's marshlands, and it's a big part of their culture. And end of 2019, a New York Times article documented how, after a wave of protests, you know, many Ahwazis, in Iran escaped to the marshlands, and Iranian security forces really went, you know, in the marshes and literally, you know, shooting people, you know, hiding in the marshes, probably over 100 deaths there. So, you know, so part of their protests are the fact that they see Tehran's water management policies as drying up the marshes, you know, drying up their traditional agriculture, their buffalo and other cattle farming, but, you know, which you know, which is a source of their subsistence in Khuzestan.
These are farmers. Do they work in the oil industry as well?
Well, they work in the oil industry, but only 5% of the management jobs. This is according to Iranian official, you know, officials themselves, not to activists. Only 5% actually go to Ahwazi Arabs in the oil and gas industry based in Khuzestan. The rest going to Persians, Lurs, other groups. And in fact, that the Iranian regime is so sensitive, I think specifically because the Arabs occupy the oil and gas industry location, they've even, you know, killed Ahwazi activists abroad in The Hague in 2015. An Ahwazi leader was shot dead on his doorstep last year, an Ahwazi activist was kidnapped from Istanbul and drugged and brought into Iran, and presuming he's in an Iranian jail now. So they really fear, the Ahwazis despite their small numbers. And I believe because of the strategic location that they occupy.
Their culture, religion, is it Sunni or Shia?
So they're mixed. The Ahwazis that live near Iraq, most of them are Shia. In the south and near the Persian Gulf, most of them are Sunni. Language is Arabic. And again, I think one of the reasons many researchers aren't covering, you know, their plight or their issues that, you know, they're not chanting in Persian. You know, they're demonstrating all their signs, their posters, their chants in the demonstrations are not in Persian. They're in Arabic. It's amazing to see the amount of really children, young men and, you know, boys, teenagers, but even younger boys, very brave, out there demonstrating. And it, you know, it's kind of, you know, tonight starts the, Eid al-Adha. It's one of the most important Islamic holidays. You know, and just seeing the pictures of the Iranian security forces gunning down Arabs on the eve of a Muslim holiday. It's almost surreal.
The Ahwazi Arabs, what is it that their demand is? Do they want separatism? Do they want representation in the center? Do they want the state security to back off? Do they have a simple demand that can be satisfied or not?
Well, you know, I think like with any type of a struggle of this type, it's very hard to say that everyone shares the same views. Like if we were in the mid 80s right now and watching demonstrations in the Soviet Baltic states or Soviet Ukraine, right? Would we know to say they want independence or they just want rights and a lot of it is also situation dependent, you know, how many people would have to die for that right? But clearly, I mean, there's the water, environmental, public health, demands, you know, but in a certain way, the degradation or the fact that water is diverted from the Ahwazis to the Persians so that it reinforces also the ethno-national element. So, I mean, so certainly many of their demands are, you know, with blood and spirit, we will liberate Ahwaz, is a common slogan that they're voicing. The water, it's very hard to separate between the demands for water and the demands and the ethnic based demands, because again, they see these waters as being diverted to the Persians and them suffering as Ahwazi Arabs. Also an interesting element on a Saturday, the Azerbaijanis in Iran have called also for demonstrations. They want to join and, you know, show solidarity for the Ahwaz. So if this happens and it happens in big numbers, then I think, you know, Tehran is going to have a lot bigger problem on their hands.
Brenda Schaefer, Professor Brenda Schaefer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, is writing about the protests of the Ahwazi Arabs. Brenda, this is part of Brenda's book, new book under construction, Iran is More Than Persia. This is a donut land. Think of it as a donut, and all the good parts are at the edges. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Data privacy. Hacking, ransomware, and data theft have become devastating problems for businesses and individuals. Globex Data has the solution. Switzerland has the world's strictest data privacy laws, and Globex Data's Swiss-hosted secure application, spelled S-E-K-U-R, uses a proprietary technology outside of big tech, which means your data remains private and secure. Globex Data just signed two telecom giants to distribute its secure communication solution to over 400 million people in 30 Latin American and Asian countries. Secure is the solution for messaging and email privacy, with no data or phone number mining. Secure users can message non-secure users in full privacy and security using chat by invites. Globex Data is now available in the U.S., bringing messaging and email privacy and security to all Americans. This Data Privacy Minute has been brought to you by Globex Data Limited. Stock trading symbol SWISF. Web address globexdata.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.